Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And we've been talking a lot about service on our show lately, and especially different ideas of things that you can do in your own community. And I think this time of year, serving others is especially at the top of mind for a lot of people. And last month, I got the privilege of traveling to Detroit, Michigan, where a local LDS congregation in Dearborn hosted a clothing drive for their community. And it was a beautiful 2-day event, and people from all different cultures and churches and neighborhoods came to this church building with vouchers that allowed them to get in and shop for free for various winter clothing items for their families. And it was a really touching experience for me to be able to see the community come together and help each other like that, because I've lived over in the East before, and the winters there are especially cold, and it's really, really hard to survive if you don't have the means to dress appropriately. So I'm so grateful that they have events like this. And Mandy Ordaz is one of the LDS volunteers. She's a public affairs media specialist for the congregation, and she made this clothing drive a success, and she joins us on the phone today from Michigan. Thanks, Mandy.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Charlotte.
So I'm curious, for myself and for our listeners out there, where did all these clothing donations come from?
Yeah, that's actually the coolest thing, I think. The clothing that came to that church building came from Deseret Industries, straight from Salt Lake.
Wow.
So we actually put in an order, and we tell, you know, how many bales, it comes in bales. We tell them how many bales we want, and the truck leaves on a Monday, arrives on Wednesday to be unloaded, and then we have our event on Friday and Saturday.
It was so great. And how long has your congregation or your stake been doing this drive for?
Well, you know, that's cool, too. The history of this distribution is rather interesting. It started in 2010 in a different suburb of Detroit called Farmington Hills. And the bishop, or one of the clergy of the LDS congregations in that city, began it. He wanted to give back to the community and at the same time make some partnerships and relationships with community members. So he actually partnered with Salvation Army. That was 2010, and each year there was a different location added. So ours was added 3 years ago. This was the third year in Dearborn. And I believe now in the area there's a total of 5. So
wow.
The same day, the same time, in 5 different LDS churches across the whole Metro Detroit area. I think the total clothing is like, it's about 10,000 pounds of clothing per church, per location.
Wow.
That's like 50,000 pounds of coats and boots that are given away. It's really impressive and wonderful.
That's so amazing. And it's great. I didn't know. I guess I just assumed it was local donations, but these are actually excess donations from the Deseret Industries in Utah. So coming from Salt Lake City. So if you live in the Salt Lake City area and you wonder what happens to the clothing that you donate to Deseret Industries, this is one of the places that it could go, out in Dearborn, Michigan, to help people get through a cold winter. So tell us a little bit about the community and what the need is like for this type of a drive.
So I'll speak, you know, just for our area, because that's what I'm familiar with in Dearborn. The Dearborn Church is the closest church that we have, well, the closest full-size church that is near Detroit. And our county of where our congregations are is one of the poorest counties in the state. And so most of the people are coming from Detroit. That's why we have it there. It's, transportation in and of itself is difficult for them. There's many people who come who have taken a taxi, or their social workers rented a bus, or they themselves took 3 different public buses and it took them 2 hours to get there. It's just mind-boggling to see the need that people are willing to come just to get, like you say, it's used clothing. And as was explained to me this year, there was a man from Salt Lake who came to visit our distribution this year, and he explained that the donations we receive are the clothing that won't sell at Deseret Industries in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is even clothing that won't sell there that is shipped here. And the beautiful thing about it is that after the event, whatever's left over gets donated to our local thrift store, which is called St. Vincent de Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And they were recently setting up even more partnerships to send more. I think a monthly shipment now is going to happen to St. Vincent de Paul. And they, believe it or not, were saying that their shipments from Deseret Industries and the leftovers that they get from the winter clothing distribution is one of their best quality donations.
Wow.
And so that's the type of need that we have. These people are willing to come, and they need these things.
And it's just, you know, it's just mind-boggling taking a bus for 2 hours to go and hopefully find a coat in your size because you have no other way of getting one. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the type of need that exists in America, in first world countries. And there is such a need for volunteers and for people to donate. And it's wonderful to hear firsthand from you the stories like this. And what type of reaction have you seen from the people who come to get clothing?
Just one of complete and utter gratitude. And it, like I said, it's so humbling for us. You know, these clothing articles that we literally are willing to just give away aren't useful to us anymore. But they are so grateful. New this year for us, we were in contact with several of the local organizations that help refugees.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was another new contact that we had to offer the vouchers to. And then they distribute it to the refugees. And obviously these refugees who are coming here for the first time, they haven't a clue, like you say, what it's like to live through a winter here in the East Coast. And they are desperately in need. So I would say about half of them were non-English speaking refugees. We weren't quite prepared for that. We needed a translator because they didn't quite understand. I mean, there isn't a whole lot to understand about going and finding clothing, but I remember one mother specifically, she came and I was accepting the vouchers at the entrance and she was searching for her voucher. I think she couldn't find it. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. You're here. You know, we know that you are here because you need it. You go right in. She was searching through her purse and they thought they needed to show some identification with it, which they don't. They just, if they know of it, we assume that they need it.
Right.
And she said she was trying through her broken English to say seven children and show me, like on her card that she had seven children. I'm like, wonderful. You are amazing. And I'm so glad you're here. And I hope that you can find coats for all of your seven children.
Oh, that's so incredible. And what, as a volunteer, and in speaking with the other volunteers that are there with you, what type of reactions or insights do you guys learn from participating in this event?
Yeah, that's a whole other aspect of the volunteers and just how it changes our hearts to see these people and serve them and look into their faces and especially help them find what they need. So we recently met as a committee, the clothing distribution committee, just to kind of overview, you know, go over it and talk about any changes that need to happen for next year. And one of the stories that one of our volunteers, she was in charge of the sorting room. The clothing comes in these 100, 200 pound bales,
mm-hmm.
and we take them all to one room where we sort them, and then we take them out to the gym and we put them on tables according to size so that people can go in and, okay, I have a girl this age, and they can find the sizes that they need for their family members. Well, sometimes as the clients are in there looking, they don't find, like you said, they don't find the right size or the right clothing that they need. And so they'll ask. One of the volunteers, we wear the yellow Mormon Helping Hands vest so they can easily identify us. And they ask, do you have any of this? Do you have a coat for a girl this size or pants for men this size? And we say, oh, I don't know. You know, we're pretty much about out of those, but I'll go check. And she said, her name was Heather, one of our volunteers. She went to the sorting room and she told them, I'll check. Go to the sorting room. And sure enough, anytime anybody ever asked for anything specific, she found it. And I just tell you, that's nothing short of a miracle right there.
That's so touching. And it was really wonderful for me to be able to witness all of this and to see you guys in action and helping such a diverse crowd, like you were mentioning, people from all different faiths and countries and different walks of life. It was beautiful to see us all come together with this basic human need. We all need to stay warm in the winter. And luckily, Deseret Industries is an incredible organization that's set up to help to help people to do just that. So thank you so much for joining us on the phone today, all the way from Michigan, Mandy. And just as a last piece of advice, what would you say to someone who's looking for ways to get their congregation involved with community service?
Oh, well, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you so much for your interest and for attending. It was such a pleasure to have you there. I would say this has been a learning experience for me, because the beginning of this whole project was that we wanted this bishop in the Farmington Hills Ward who began all of this. His name is Greg Geiger. He wanted to have Desert Industries store here in Michigan. But the Salvation Army, which is kind of the biggest thrift store here, they thought it would be competition. So he partnered with what was currently here established. And so that's my recommendation, is find what's already there. Don't recreate the wheel. Go find the organizations that are already helping people and offer them your help, your support, your leadership. And as we all work together is when these beautiful, most helpful and most beneficial things can happen.
That's great advice, especially because Deseret Industries isn't, for the most part, in the eastern part of the United States. It's kind of just from Utah west. But there are a lot of different organizations around that you mentioned that do help people in the same way. And it's great to just reach out to them if you live in that part of the country or that part of the world. It's great to reach out to existing organizations and figure out different ways that you can partner and help just provide volunteers, help provide time and hours and manpower and to serve the people there. So thank you so much for joining us again. And if you're looking for more ways to help and serve in your own community, please visit giveback.lds.org for some great ideas. And we're going to close our episode today with a quote from previous LDS leader Bishop H. David Burton. And he said, "This service is the sacred work the Savior expects from his disciples. It is the work he loved when he walked the earth. It is the work I know we would find him doing were he here among us today." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.